I am puzzled why the White House has decided to single out this particular item in advance of the recommendations of the Deficit Reduction Commission. Presumably, the Deficit Reduction Commission is going to have a broad menu of options for the president and for Congress to consider to help reduce the mountain of red ink that was allowed to build up over the last decade. Why would you, in advance of that, pick out just one item and not the most effective, I might add, in terms of dollars reducing the deficit, and say that's the one we want to hang our hat on? And so that troubles me, why we're picking the federal employee out amongst all the items on that menu.
And we heard from Jeffrey Zients earlier in the day, acting director of the Office of Management and Budget, and his basic reaction was we're reducing office space, we're addressing procurement issues. We've been focused on a lot of these issues. At least reading between the lines, my sense was almost the deficit commission actually said 3 years. Hold on, we're going to do 2 years as a way of almost mitigating this, I guess, a little bit.
Well, maybe that's what they have in mind. I think there's some value in looking at the options that are going to be in front of us in a context. When you remove some of those options from that context, it can strengthen or dilute the remaining options, frankly, because this is going to be some give and take. Both the Democrats and the Republicans are going to have to give up some of their treasured philosophies if we're going to take meaningful action to reduce the deficit. And as I said, to take one of those options off the table by unilateral preemptive action, I fear could be unwise. I think it also sends a negative signal, unintended, I'm sure, by the White House about the value of the federal workforce. And, you know, we heard a lot of demagogic rhetoric in the recent campaign, including from the Speaker-designate John Boehner himself, about the value and compensation of the federal workforce. And so to do anything that reinforces that, however unintended, I think is unfortunate. I would also add that from my point of view, no exception was made for those patriotic and brave civilian federal employees who are working side by side with our military in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've had civilian federal employee casualties in both of those wars, and certainly many who have been injured. And they put themselves in harm's way every day, too. So it seems to me that if we're going to make an exception for the military, we also need to make an exception for that category of civilian federal employee. Unfortunately, no such exception was suggested today by the White House.
You're very good at watching and getting a sense as to what people are saying up on the Hill. What's your sense that this is a proposal at this point, has to make it through Congress, but at least folks that I'm hearing from say chances are pretty likely that this will make its way through you guys?
You know, most members of Congress of either party don't have the numbers of active federal employees and federal retirees that we do, respectively, in our districts in the National Capital Region. So it's always an education process. Given the tectonic shift that took place in the November 2nd elections, I would say that the climate of receptivity and sympathy for the federal workforce is significantly diminished. So it would be a very hard sell to try to turn this around, unfortunately, under these circumstances. And again, I think the federal workforce should not be exempt. We ought to be considered for making sacrifices along with others. But let's see what those other sacrifices are before we simply cite one category, the federal workforce.
To look at it as part of an overall plan for reducing the deficit that actually does look at everything rather than just focus on feds.
That's right. And that way you also bring along the federal workforce. If they can see that context and if they can conclude, well, we're being asked to do something that's not unfair given the context, you know, that would be great. But right now they have no way of knowing whether it is or isn't a fair request, or that it falls within the parameters of the context being set by the commission, because no one's seen their recommendations yet.
We have seen a lot of discussion about, really this year has been one almost dominated by the great Fed pay debate, starting with USA Today almost 10 months ago, trying to compare public and private salaries, and there's been these stories about Fed pay being double the average pay. A lot of that, when you get into the details, not completely accurate, but it seems like if you're a Fed these days, it has to be hard to get up and do your job every day, and when you're being kicked around a lot, it was certainly in the press.
Yeah, first of all, of course, when somebody says that it's double the private sector pay, it's not apples and oranges. It's comparing the federal workforce to all other jobs in the private sector, and it's not differentiating high-end, high-skilled jobs that require very technical expertise. That isn't that easy to find, and if you're going to find it, you're going to have to pay comparable benefits and salary if you're going to compete with the private sector. That's just a fact of life. And you're absolutely right. What I worry about moving forward in the future is the more this kind of thing happens, it makes it harder to recruit and retain the workforce of the future.
And is it your sense that, I've seen a lot of folks commenting on our website today saying, oh yeah, it's, if I'm going to retire, now's probably the time since my retirement isn't going to change for the next couple of years. If I'm eligible, we talk about this workforce tsunami going. Is this something that might spur that on?
I'm sure it would. And from some people's point of view, I'm sure that's a good part. A good unintended consequence, because it shrinks the federal workforce. But, that's not a very thoughtful approach to the needs of the federal workforce. And neither is it really a thoughtful approach to the whole issue of, wait a minute, this workforce exists to serve the public. And we got to be asking, what is the best model for serving the public? And, across the board decisions, general shrinkage of the federal workforce and the consequences be damned, I don't think is a thoughtful approach to serving our own public.
And that's sort of been my concern a little bit as I've watched this, is it's called for just across the board, a reduction to such and such levels or those kinds of things, instead of saying, almost stepping back and saying, hold on, what are our priorities here? Right. Let's invest in things that are important. And it means we can't do everything, but really making those choices, that kind of discussion gets lost in this debate.
Yes. And again, making those decisions in a context, I think, is just imperative. So we're not just isolating one set of options and doing major surgery on it. How does the paring back of the federal workforce or a salary freeze on federal workers, how does that match up against limiting or eliminating or capping a number of the tax expenditures in the federal budget that go into the trillions of dollars?
Let me ask you one last question, then I'll let you go. A lot of discussion about these across-the-board things and limiting. If this isn't quite fair, what is fair?
Well, let's see what the recommendations of the Deficit Reduction Commission are, and we can evaluate the fairness or lack thereof of those recommendations. But at least we'll have the full context in which to weigh the options in front of us. I don't think for a minute that the federal workforce sees itself as exempt from the need for some sacrifice to address successfully the federal deficit. We all have a part to play. But neither do I think they think that they should be unfairly singled out as the symbol of federal spending and the symbol of federal deficit reduction. I don't think that's fair to them. And I frankly think it's also misleading, because the savings to be accrued are relatively small when compared to the total size of the debt we're dealing with.